Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Lawrence Holmes going to be back tomorrow on the Lawrence Holmes Show. I have been Mark Grody filling in on said show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We had James Feegan on. Thanks to him for jumping in to talk about all of the issues with the Chicago White Sox. Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune talking about the Cubs and what to watch for with that team. We thank Ray Diaz for expertly producing the show. There is a Diaz difference. It's real. Like, if you're here, you could absolutely feel it. So I have appreciated that. I gotta tell you, the last time I did transition with Parkins and Spiegel, as Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel, I was like thinking to myself, it was like 2:03 when we started it. So it was like a little bit late to the transition. And I thought to myself,
2:05.
If there's any show that cares about their time getting taken away, I'll bet you it's the Parkins and Spiegel show. And Parko made mention of it right away on Friday. And then today, as I was wrapping up the final segment of the show I was filling in for today, there was Parkins in the sliding glass window as I'm talking and trying to do a radio show and gesturing to his watch as if to say, take a break. We've got to get to our show. And that brings us to where we are.
Parkins, I was kidding.
I don't know.
I was dead ass serious last week.
I know you were.
I was dead ass serious last week. That's ridiculous. This is afternoon drive. We start at 2:00 around here, if not earlier. Thank you very little. But today, when I pointed to my fake watch, I was mostly kidding.
You know what it was like, Spiegs? It was like in Jurassic Park, the Wayne Knight character, the security guy, the criminal essentially, the Dotson, where he's looking at the virus pops up and he's going, there's Parkins in my dreams going, get to break on time. We got a show to do.
Did you just pull the character name of Wayne Knight's character in the original Jurassic Park?
I think I botched it.
Or does he drive a Datsun?
No, there was a scene where he gets together in some remote location with a gentleman named Dotson who had the can of Barbasol shaving cream.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to be really secret. And he goes, you got to keep it secret. And then the Wayne Knight character goes, huh, we got Dotson. We've got Dotson. We've got Dotson right here. We've got Dotson.
Reminds me of Rich Dotson, who used to pitch for Tony La Russa in his first go around.
Lamar
and
Hoyt.
And now I'm angry all over again.
Yes.
See, the White Sox anger is just available at a moment's notice. But we were rolling in a much happier transition, so let's pretend you didn't say Dotson.
Six Jurassic Parks now? Is that right?
I think we're done, right?
No, never done. Never done.
They claim. Did you see the new one?
I have not. I have not. Oceans, right?
It's Oceans? It's
something with the oceans.
I don't know. I hear it's bad.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
I hear it's real bad.
I heard it was like remarkably, unbelievably terrible. You know what? I need to say, and I don't know if you have, Mark, but I know Danny has. I saw Top Gun over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Aw, nice.
On Saturday.
Throw out the rundown.
mid-morning with my wife and her father, she was wearing a Maverick t-shirt. He was wearing a Goose t-shirt because that's how they have referred to each other for more than two decades, I guess, and bought shirts for one another. I was allowed to come along, but not allowed to sit in the same row. They were having an experience watching this together. But
Did you love it?
I loved it, man. I was so impressed. I was so impressed. I thought, all right, not only is this, obviously, it's a very fun, enjoyable, kind of smiley action flick for right now, which doesn't take itself too seriously. So it's that. but it's also simultaneously like a pitch perfect homage to itself from all those years ago. And that's a pretty neat trick, man, to be an homage to oneself and also a movie that could stand on its own. I thought that was incredibly well executed. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm with you, man. I was smiling the entire time. Like, I was like, it was worth the wait. The nostalgia was there. The story worked like more than I need it to for an absurd action movie. Like, I'm willing to overlook a few plot points, you know, in a silly action flick. And I only thought there were like one or two that was like, eh, that doesn't really make a whole lick of sense, but whatever. I'll overlook that minor detail.
Well, I mean, like pulling off all of those ridiculous
stunts. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
There's one. There's a third guy who hasn't seen it yet. Speaks.
Well, what I'm saying is that you have to suspend your disbelief when you go to a flick like that to begin with. So,
but yeah, not Jurassic Park though.
Right. Yeah, no. Jurassic Park is real. Top Gun Maverick. I'm willing to suspend your disbelief.
I mean, it's more plausible that a brontosaurus could walk down Michigan Avenue than speeder pilots going above.
Yeah, but it was, I'm with you, man, and I thought the movie had some heart. Like, I thought it was well acted, the Val Kilmer stuff was good, Miles Teller I thought was good, the flashbacks was good, I enjoyed it. I want to go and, you know, have an edible and go to an IMAX. Like, I want to be, if Tom Cruise got Miles Teller in the cockpit of an F-14 for the film scenes, I'm not going to do that, but I want to do the next best thing. Like, I want the immersive theater experience, and I'm willing to pay like $30 a ticket to do it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun, and I was way ahead of you on the edible. You know,
good for
so
you.
maybe that's part of it.
Good for
know.
You.
It was a lovely day.
Spiegel, what were the, because you know we brought it up. What were the 11 worst parts about the White Sox game yesterday?
Oh God.
Just give us your top 11, and we'll get to the rest later, but just like 11 or 12 things hated.
Well, how about that John Gray came into that game with an ERA well over 5 in 9 starts.
He finally looked the part.
Dude, 10 strikeouts. They swung and missed at 40% of his pitches yesterday. That's a Corbin Burns number or a Garrett Cole number on a good day. And
right.
John Gray looked like that. So, I mean, the fact that the Rangers are so bad and so sloppy on defense, and gift wrapped them the tie for Andrew Vaughn in the 7th, and then gift wrapped them the outfield collision to tie it again. And still they win that game, and they're running off the field clapping about their series win. That's a team that, like, they spent a lot of money, but they knew as an organization they're not ready to win. They're not made to win now, and they're a half game back of what the White Sox record is. It's so pathetic, man. It's really, really ugly yesterday and all season long, frankly.
We're going to talk so much about it. But it's so joyless, like on a number of levels. So I think we'll do it after Tanny's open, but I think there's one like silver lining of hope for fan empowerment that at least I can like grasp to as a positive. But until they start playing better, man, the story is now the soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
Which sucks.
Yes.
They're a team with World Series aspirations.
Yes, very dramatic. They're very dramatic at this point. How about, I was talking about this a little bit. I thought the story was going to be, and an evil part of me was hoping for it, that it was going to be Dylan Cease getting into the game for the White Sox. That's what I thought was going on, because they had overused all of their bullpen, they had nobody available, and they're going to one of their best starters. That's what I thought, and that is where we are, because that would have been very dramatic.
You know, let's make sure we say how heroic and awesome that was by Johnny Cueto yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude is like,
I mean, I throw around heroic and hero a little liberally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was a good teammate shift.
Somebody had to come in and play. So
it was the act of heroism that was available to him right there.
Oh, okay.
And he did it.
You've got a chance to be a hero,
Maverick is a hero. All right, Rooster is a hero.
Wayne Dotson is a hero because he tried to stop the selling of the dinosaur DNA.
Johnny Cueto, good baseball player.
Guys, if there was a cat stuck in a tree, he would have saved that cat before he went out there and did what he did. But like, to walk up to Ethan Katz and not having pitched or stretched, he had 45 pitches in a heated bullpen the day before, but he's like, he's in the pool, he's in the sauna, he's just hanging around, he's like, all right, I can go. And then he goes out and gives you five innings. That is elite teammateship, and I stand by it. Downright heroic under the circumstances.
That's a good poll question.
Yeah, was that heroic?
Is Johnny Cueto a hero?
I think so.
See, you're with the people that were trying to make that the takeaway from yesterday. How dare you have a positive takeaway? That's not the takeaway. That does not fit what we're trying to do around here, Spiegel.
There are multiple takeaways. It's baseball. It's a complicated season. So he can be a hero, and they can still be a dead-ass, raggedy, sloppy team that isn't going to win anything. And that's what it looks like.
Right. To ping-pong back and forth between our two very significant conversations here, many texters are saying the motion seat 4D experience is the way to go. For the top.
I've never done that. I've done it once.
Have you guys, either of you guys ever done the 4D theater experience?
Oh, I thought that was a gummy level. It's motion 4D. Okay.
No, I've never done it on gummies. That's this time. No,
but I don't even know what that is. No.
So your seats move.
It's like a Disney World
thing. And they'll if you're flying through space. I took my dad to a Star Wars in it. And like if you're flying, like they'll blow cold air on you.
Uh-huh.
Like, if the Millennium Falcon turns left, your seat goes left. If it goes right. It can mist in the theater. Like, it's a crazy experience. But, you know, my dad's older. My dad, this was years ago at this point, but my dad's dealing with some dementia issues. And, we walk out of the theater and what'd you think? What'd you think, Dad? He goes, it was a little much.
They are.
He was just kind of subdued, and he was just like, "That was a little much." I'm like,
"He ain't wrong."
Yeah, he's not wrong.
I did it. At the Field Museum has it. So when you're watching a movie with your kid about underwater dinosaurs, they'll splash you with a little water. That's the closest I've come to that experience.
Oh yeah,
but those things at the Shed or the Field Museum, right? Those are like 10-minute little kid
IMAX,
not 2-hour, 20-minute Star Wars Odysseys where you're just like, seatbelt into a movie theater.
They closed down the big IMAX at Navy Pier. They used to have the things there. Yeah, they did. They used to have the things there where like you wore goggles, and the goggles, the 3D goggles, had little speakers on the side of them.
Yes.
So you'd get the bonus sound that way. And I remember experiencing that and thinking that I had made it all the way to the future. As we ping pong back and forth, several texters putting Johnny Cueto appropriately above Sully Sullenberger, somewhere near firefighters and single mothers in terms of heroes in American society. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Sully Sullenberger.
Yeah.
Right? I can't give him single mothers or firefighters, but let's be honest, these planes land themselves.
That's true.
Come on, Sully.
Cars parallel park themselves.
Tom Hanks plays you in a movie when we've got automated pilot systems. Come on
now.
That's
a great point.
That's just, it's not right. It's not right. He cashed in.
All right, Spiegel, what other positives do you have from the White Sox weekend that you'd like to address? Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn.
Jake crushed Berger. His last time out.
Jake Berger, except for defense, get in front of the ball.
Yeah.
Get in front of the ball.
Jake Berger's bat is a positive. No, Lance Lynn got crushed progressively worse over his over his three minor league stints, and now they're bumping him up a day because they need him desperately. This is a bad moment. It's a very bad moment.
Does it feel recoverable? Are they going to recover? Like, is Spiegel, are you off of the train here? Like, are the Sox just, should we look at the Sox differently now and stop doing the whole, like, yeah, well, hey, it's early and they're going to catch, they got two teams they need to catch now. So
yeah, they have two teams they need to catch. And the division is going to be the only thing. Their only way in, and the season is awfully long. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it at 3 o'clock and beyond. I remember when Mac and I started here in 2009. We started June 15th, 2009, and the Cubs were coming off the two playoff appearances with the first round outs, you know, and we watched them be mediocre and I remember the feeling of like waiting to declare and like, what are we seeing here actually? And is this team just, is it going to wake up and flip a switch or what's happening here? And it feels similar to me just in terms of these moments here, middle of June, you're kind of supposed to know. By middle of June, you're supposed to know. And so as a little preface for what we'll talk about, I think a little bit later, I guess at 3 o'clock.
So is June 15th, we don't know your score anniversary. So June 15th will be 13 years since you started as a full-time host with Mac, but there was obviously, as you call it, your period of vague employment, but there was obviously your long score stretch before full-time host with Mac. So have we ever figured it out? Because we're in year 30 of the score, or we've done 30 years, we're into our 31st year.
Yeah, we're in...
You've been an employee here for 13 years consecutively.
Right, and I started as an intern, though, in 94.
And then when did you leave for Sporting News?
2002.
So you've been here for 21 of the 31?
Yes. Yes, I've been here for 21 of the 31 with 94 as the start. I'm a tricky one.
Yeah. You are a tricky one. You're a tricky one to celebrate.
Yeah. I like this about Spiegel, though. I like the fact that you don't really care or know when your anniversary is.
Well, yeah, so I think he does care. I think
or you don't know. You just don't know. Okay, never mind. I was going to give you credit, but apparently you do care a lot about your anniversary, or we wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Well, just saying,
hey, no, Danny brought it up for the
record. I remember we were talking about, was it around when Bernstein had 25 years? It was something in the last year. We were like, hey, Speaks, when's your day? And he's like, I don't know, man. I think I've done like 20 years, but it's not continuous.
I
had the DeCastro break. And so, like, I don't, no one celebrates anything because no one really knows.
Please, we don't need to say the name. My era of vague employment.
My apologies.
Right.
But remember when we had Bernsey on for Score Stories? Last 2 weeks have been great, by the way. Mully was amazing on Thursday at 5 o'clock, I thought. And Bernsey the week before, I said to Bernsey, well, when I started, you were doing the Saturday show, and he's like, yeah, no, I didn't start till 95. So I started before him, which I didn't even remember. So yeah, it's a tricky one to celebrate for sure.
We have Ice Cube coming on at 2:40.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get out my Ice Cube picture.
Ice Cube is coming on at 2:40.
Oh, sick.
The Sox weekend that was, where they are going forward, and a moment in time, I think, for White Sox fans, plus a lot more, Grody.
Awesome. I will talk to you guys tomorrow from Bears. Having a wonderful show.
Yes. Thank you for the reports tomorrow. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.